Because we know Jesus is coming so alive in us that we know we're being transformed into the very image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what it's all about. As your heart is ready, as your heart is prepared to just to give of your very best to our Lord God, I know He is so pleased and He is so wanting just to give more of Himself to you as your heart is fully surrendered to Him. Why don't we go ahead? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Lord God. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. I'm just thanking you, Lord, from deep within my heart for all my brothers and sisters who are in this very place. Because, Lord, we could be doing something else on a Saturday afternoon, but we choose to be here because we desire you. Father, will you just let your presence increase? Oh, let it flow, Father. As we decrease, may you increase in every way, because we know this time it's not about us. It's all about you. And we truly desire more and more of you. So, Lord God, we place this time all into your hands. May your name be magnified. May your name be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all of these things. And all my brothers and sisters say together, amen. Praise God. Praise God. So as you all may well know, right, we started a new sermon series, you know, about several weeks ago. And it's called The Christian Atheist, right? And if this is the first time you're here, you're still probably thinking, what does that mean? What in the world is that all about? And we know basically it's defined as a Christian believer who has no evidence that God is in his or her life. So it's the person who really just is Christian by name only. But the very fact is he's not living a life that is true to God. And today we are on characteristic four, which is a Christian, is that what it says there, is who is out of service. And what is that all about? Well, I got to tell you, you know, when I was in college, there were many nights of which I stayed up late and I would stay up to the wee hours of the morning because a lot of times I'd be cramming for my test. I'll be honest with you. And I wouldn't study until the very last minute. And sometimes it would be like 2 or 3 in the morning and I would get so hungry, you know, because you study and you just could get hungry and you need a snack. And I knew if I didn't get some food into me, you know, my mind would start to wander and I wouldn't be able to concentrate. I would get really cranky and I just wouldn't be able to retain anything. And so, you know, if I absolutely had no food in my dorm room, I had to rely on the vending machines that were in the basement with all the laundry, you know, machines and all that. And, you know, because all the snack shops were all closed. And so often I would walk past these machines, you know, as I would get my mail, and I would see, I look at these vending machines. They're cram-packed with my favorite chips and my favorite candy bars. I'm thinking, man, if I'm hungry later, I can come down here. So one night I got really hungry, and it was like maybe like 2:30 or something like that in the morning. So I gathered up my coins, and I made a list of all the snacks that I would get. So, yeah, I'm going to get some sour cream potato chips, and, you know, I'm going to get some pretzels and all this stuff, right? I'm thinking, yeah, I know if I get some food in me, I'll be good to go. So as I got closer and closer to the machines, because, you know, I took the elevator down to the basement, I noticed there's a piece of paper on the machine. It was a dreaded sign that says, out of service. And in my mind, I would scream, no! And what a big disappointment. You guys ever experienced like that? You said, well, I cannot wait. I got the food. I got the chip already in my mouth. Out of service. Or you're saying, okay, I can't wait to get that can of Coke, you know, because I really need a can of Coke right now. And then out of service. And now I'm thinking I have to study the rest of the night with my stomach making rumbling noises as I would struggle to stay awake. And in a way, right, we're just like these vending machines. Yeah, you heard me. You know, because when we first accepted Christ into our lives, you know, God fills us with much of his goodness, with his Holy Spirit, just coming straight into our minds, straight into our hearts. And I'm sure God, when he did that, he's probably thinking, great, now that my child is filled with my holy presence, I know my child will do many great works for my kingdom. And at first, right, it seems like we're so willing to do just about anything he asks. Come on, you guys been there, right? When you said yes to Christ, you said, yeah, I know God is real. I know Jesus, he's in me. I want to do anything he asks of me. And for many of us, we get involved in ministry. I did. I remember a lot of the leaders that were like there, you know, in my Bible study groups. I told them, I want to do this. I want to do that. And they say, okay, Ben, just stay still. All right, we'll get you involved. We'll get you going here. And I remember I got so busy for the Lord. But guess what happens? Our lives keep going on and on. And we get busier and busier with everything else. And just like the broken vending machine, right? We are now out of service. You know what I'm talking about? And that is why Paul, he stresses the importance of continuing to serve God. Because once you start to do less and less and less, you kind of go, yeah, you know what? I like to just kick my feet on the couch and just rest. I like to watch this basketball game and not think about anything else. I can just take it easy. And suddenly we're doing less and less and less for the Lord until we get to the point we become out of service. And I want you to read with me what it says here in Titus 3, verse 14. Read it with me. Ready? Go. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not to be what? Unfruitful. It's so important. We must devote ourselves to good works. I mean, good works that we know we're giving God the glory. That's what I'm talking about, where you know you're doing it for Jesus Christ. Because you know what? You don't devote yourselves to doing great and mighty works for the kingdom. What does it say there? You're going to become what? Unfruitful. That means you're not going to bear great fruit for the Lord. Suddenly you're doing less and less, and you get to the point you do nada. You do nothing. That's why we must devote ourselves. We must tell ourselves, no, I know this is what God wants me to do. I'm going to do whatever he asks. I'm going to see to it that each and every day, I'm going to do whatever the works he wants me to do. I want you to look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Read it with me. Ready? Go. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You'll be made complete with what? The fullness of life and power that comes from God. Just like the vending machine. I know it's full of all the snacks I want. I'm thinking, yeah, it's packed, jam-packed with all the goodies. Well, guess what? God, he jam-packs you with his goodness. You got all the power. You got all the life that comes from God. The question is, are you going to utilize it? Because he fills you. He fills every believer that said yes to his son, Jesus Christ. The question is, are you going to use it? Because he's waiting. He wants you to utilize what he has given to you. So just for purposes of clarity, you know, let's define what it means to do service for God. Well, we'll define it as any good work that is done unto God to honor and glorify his name. And so whatever it is that you know you're giving God glory to, you're doing it because you love him, because you know this is what he wants you to do. This is service for the Lord. Amen? So the question now is, how can we get to the point of our lives becoming out of service in the kingdom of God? Because let me tell you, it's easy. Because, come on, we as human beings, we love to kick back and relax, especially we're here in Hawaii, man. We got so many nice beaches. We just go, okay, I'm going to just lie on the sand, I'm going to kick back, I'm going to relax, and nobody bother me. And suddenly we do more and more of that, and God is saying, I got work for you to do, child. And guess what? We just say, no, but Lord, I just want to take it easy for now. Well, I want you to look at number one here. It says, when we have the mindset of, I just don't really care about serving others. And sometimes, yeah, I hear people say, I know I'm a Christian, but I'd rather not do that. That's not for me. And sometimes we keep, you know, telling ourselves, you know, I know that God has a purpose, has a mission for my life, but I'll find out when I want to find out. No, God has it for you today. Don't wait any longer. Just say, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you ask. And if the truth be told, sometimes we just want someone else, right? Come on. We want someone else to do what God has called us to do. Oh, let the other brother do it. I want him to experience, you know, the goodness of God. I want him to be the one to serve because I want to bless him. And God says, I'm calling on you, child. I want you to do it because you are gifted with the very gift that I have given to you that you will bless many. I'm calling you. Don't be putting it upon others. Say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it because I want to be blessed by you. And you know, sometimes for others, right, we think, oh, it's okay. I'm just going to make contributions to a certain ministry. I'm just going to get my wallet out. I'm going to just make contributions. And you know, you do that, that's good. That's awesome, right? The Lord will want you to give to whatever ministry. But sometimes we think, okay, that will cover all the work that God wants us to do. Now I don't have to do any work because I gave. I gave to the ministry. And God says, no, I still got work for you to do. Because the harvest, guess what? It's plentiful, but the workers are what? Few. And that's why God, he's looking for the few that has the heart to say, Lord, I'm giving my all to you. I'm going to do whatever you call me to do. And I want you to look what it says here in Proverbs 29:7. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked, what? Have no such concern. So we're talking about the righteous. The righteous are the ones who have made it right with God. They know God. They know the heart of Christ. And you know what? Because they know the heart of Christ, they care about justice for the poor. They care about what's going on in their lives. They care about the very fact that, you know, they may be suffering right now, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to help them. But what does it say? The wicked, we're talking about the unbelievers, we're talking about the one, yeah, just don't have concern. None of my business. Why should I care? You know, it's not my problem. But when you have Christ in you, yeah, you say, yeah, I want to help. It becomes my problem too. I see my brother and sister suffering. I want to do something about that. I want to help them because I know that's what God would want me to do. I want you to look what it says here in Proverbs 21:13. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out, oh, and not be answered. Oh, you read that, you go, what? Because you may shut your ear. You may, I don't hear anything. What does it say? You shut your ear to the cry of the poor, you one day may also cry out. And guess what? You may not be answered too. Come on, that's what the Bible says. I mean, come on. I know these are kind of scriptures where people, they don't want to hear this, but we need to hear it, amen? Because we know God is calling us out to be people who care. Yeah, even total strangers, even people we don't know. God says, no, make a difference in that person's life. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 25. Okay, I'm going to start off at verse 31. This is not in your notes. Okay, just listen. Okay, just listen for now. Matthew 25, okay? It says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the what? From the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goat at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, I know you know this scripture, and you what? You fed me. I was thirsty, and you what? You gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you were doing it for me. Wow. Okay, now look at verse 41. It's in your notes. Read it with me. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I will tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. So we know who the sheep are, right? Well, automatically you would say, yeah, that's us, the believers, right? So who are the goats on the left? You know, most often people will say, well, got to be the unbelievers, right? Because they're the ones who will go away into eternal punishment. Okay, but here's the thing. When you see in verse 44, it tells us here that these goats, they call Jesus what? Lord. You see that? Lord. When did we ever see you hungry? And you know what Lord means. It means master. Think about this. Why would an unbeliever call Jesus Lord? A lot of times they reject God. They say, I don't want anything to do with God. Don't talk about God. So why is it that this unbeliever would call Jesus Lord? You know, I read this one Bible commentator's comments, and he explains that this could refer to someone who says they are a believer. They say now, I believe in God. But he's not a true believer because they only pretend to know God but have no relationship with Jesus at all. You met someone like that? Say, well, I believe in God. I grew up Christian, right? But they're not living a life that resembles Christ. They may have said the sinner's prayer, but they didn't really mean it at all. The evidence is the fact that there has been no change in the way that they think or how they live their lives. And guess what? They're very self-centered. And we know that sounds, you know, a lot like someone, you know, who is an unbeliever, who just has doesn't want anything to do with God. Do you guys remember what we covered in part one? Remember we talked about the person who practices lawlessness. Okay, the person who does not choose to follow God's ways, and basically they want to live for themselves. That was the first week, right? We talked about that. And you know what? This goes hand in hand, you know, with the person who is practicing lawlessness and the person who just basically just wants to live for themselves and don't want to help those who are in need. And here's the thing. Even when the person who practices lawlessness, they may try to do some good works for God, but you know what happens? Well, I'm going to tell you what happens. Look at Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, double Lord, okay? Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and we performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Oh, get away from me, you who breaks God's laws, you who practice lawlessness. Whoo! I know, it's heavy. I'm going to tell you, a lot of pastors, they don't preach on this because, you know, especially they have a big congregation. They go, I don't want to say something that, you know, someone will get kind of like offended, or someone may kind of like, ah, if he continues to preach that, I'm not coming anymore. We got to hear the truth. Amen. And we got to understand the goats. You know, I believe, because it sounds like, you know, they're the unbelievers, but here's the thing. You could say they're believers, but not true believers. Because the Bible talks about this. There are true disciples and there are false disciples. You see what I'm saying? And so, in the sense, yeah, they're not real believers. But they're believers in the sense because they call Jesus Lord. They think they know God. But they are all thinking only about themselves. Because if you really know Jesus Christ, I'm talking if you really know the heart of Jesus, you should be saying, Lord, please tell me what I can do to help that brother or sister. Because when you have this kind of heart, God knows your heart is for real. And the Bible shows to us that when a believer comes to know Jesus Christ, guess what? You should have a greater desire to love and serve others as you let the Word of God speak to you, as you spend time in the Word. Because I knew, I'm going to tell you straight up, before I became a Christian, it was all about me, myself, and I. You guys know about this. I gave this testimony many a times. You know, I was doing like the world. I was drinking, smoking, partying it up. I was thinking, okay, if I can get myself to get more happy, hey, that's what life is all about. And I was so miserable. I thought I was getting more happy, but I realized I was getting more and more miserable when I was thinking of worldly ways to get myself to be happy. And we know what's that about, right? We know the joy of the Lord. When it comes upon you, it is so real. It is manifested upon your life because you surrender it to God. And you're never going to feel forced. You know, you're not going to feel like, okay, my pastor or the leader or whatever, my spouse says, I got to go help them. So, okay, I got to go, all right. You're never going to feel forced because when the love of God is in you, you're going to see it, man. It's a daily mission. Every day you go out and say, Lord, whoever's life I can touch, that I can somehow make even just a little difference, Lord, I want to be there. I want to be the one to do it. And guess what? God is going to give you assignments. Because when you ask God for this, I guarantee you, stuff is going to happen. God will give it. He's going to lay it on you. One opportunity after the other. You cannot let it pass you by because he's giving this to you, right? And I want you to look what it says here in 1 John 3:17. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows what? No compassion. How can God's love be in that person? Wow. And John makes it very plain and clear. If you kind of said, I don't care. You see someone all bloodied and they look all bust up and they look like they're hurting. Or you kind of go, oh, okay, I got to get around this person. Okay. And you just go on your merry way. Now, God calls us to help. Amen. God calls us to say, okay, what can I do? What can I do to help you out here? Are you okay? I want you to look what it says in Isaiah 58:10. Read that with me. Ready? Go. And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your what? Your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. Wow. Your light will rise in the darkness. Is it your light? It's God's light, yeah? It's the light of Jesus inside of you that will shine so brightly. And you can go into the darkest place. I'm talking spiritual now, okay? Or places you know it's evil. You got Jesus inside of you. Oh, people, I really believe that they're going to go, oh, you know, who that guy? You know, they're going to experience the light of Christ because your life belongs to God. Amen? And you can make a difference. You got to be bold about this, brothers and sisters. You got to say, Lord, I want to be used by you, Lord. Show me what can I do to bring your light, to illuminate even more brighter as you just tell me what to do, Lord. I'm going to tell you, he will tell it to you. And you got to make a choice. Are you going to allow that light to just shine so brightly that all the darkness is shattered in Jesus' name? Amen? I want you to look at point number two now. Okay. It says here, we are always giving the excuse of what? I just don't have the time, right? And the question to ask is, if you say, right, I just don't have the time to serve God. I just don't have the time, you know. And you got to ask yourself, what are you doing with your time that is making you so busy? Because too often, I know I talk with my brother. My brother is also a pastor in North Carolina, as you guys know. And he will tell me, he says, you know, whenever the church needs help in a certain ministry, you know, they will often hear this response. I'm just too what? I'm just too busy. I got work. I got this. I got that. And I guess too many activities going on in my life. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, yes, we are all busy, aren't we? But ask yourself, if there's just one thing that you can do right now in making a difference in a person's life, would you do it? Can you think of just one thing? Someone that you know, your neighbor, your coworker, someone who's just down and out. Have you done something? Because, you know, we can just go on each and every day and say, hopefully it will get better. Maybe I'll just say a prayer for this person. I hope it gets better, but you never talk to this person. And you know, because maybe it could be just the very fact God is telling you, go talk to that co-worker about Jesus, because this person just went through a divorce. Or maybe God is saying, go spend time with this elderly person who is lonely and so depressed. Will you go and just go and just spend some time with this person? Or the willingness just to spend at least an hour or two a week just to help out at a ministry in your church. I mean, just hour or two. That's it. I mean, something that you can do to show God, you know what? I want to show your love. I want to share your love to the people in this world. Are you willing just to block out just a few hours a week just to help someone in need, all in the name of Jesus? Because if you're willing to do it, it really will show how much you love God. Look what it says here in James 4, 14 to 15. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a what? A mist that appears for just a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the what? The Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Okay. Just like this. One spray pump. Okay, well, check this out, everybody. Everybody look up. And spray here. Pow! You see that? Oh, you see that? You see all that mist? Just imagine you just take one water particle. How many will we have? I'm talking thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Let me show it to you again. There you go. I'm talking thousands upon thousands of water particles, right? As it is released into the air. Now you see it? And now you don't. And James says, that's your life. Well, if you consider it and you know, compare it to eternity, yeah, that's all it is. Your life is just a little scratch. It goes really quick, doesn't it? And we must realize that in this very mist, God is going to give you many opportunities to touch other people's lives. Because we got thousands and thousands of events and situations that will happen in life. Just in a little mist, right? And he's telling us within that mist, there are many opportunities to show my love to them. And child, I want you to be my spokesperson. Child, I want you to be the hands and feet to show my love. He's calling us out. And just imagine all the opportunities within this mist, right? All wasted because instead of choosing to do God's will, because I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit, come on, you know it and I know it. The Holy Spirit would say, go, Ben, go talk to that person. Oh, but Lord, I got to go. I got an appointment. And the Holy Spirit says, Ben, that person needs to know about me. But look, and we keep on making excuses. I understand. Sometimes we got to, you know, make our appointment on time. But a lot of times we just make excuses and we never end up doing what God has called us to do. Because guess what? We chose our own will. We said, Lord, I'd rather do this. Lord, no, I'll maybe do it next time. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the Lord says, you know, do it now. But my friend is waiting for me at the golf course. I want you to look what it says there in Matthew 6:24. Look what Jesus says. Read it with me. Ready? Go. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both, right? It's what your heart is devoted to the most. Because when someone is constantly distracted by money and all the things, right, that it can bring forth in this person's life, it becomes their master. And now it rules, guess what? Their time and every area of their lives. I want you to look what Jesus says about this. Look at Luke 12, 33 to 34. Oh, look what it says there. Look what Jesus tells us to do. Okay, ready? Go. Sell your possessions and give it to those who are in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, or no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Okay, we just read that verse. You think we can all do that? We go home? We're just going to have a huge garage sale. Can we do that? Come on, who's in? We're going to sell everything we have. Come on, that's what Jesus is saying, right? Or you come to my house, right? Okay. I'll just put everything there, and I'll just say, okay, free for all, right? Well, here's the thing. We don't actually have to sell everything that we have and give it away. But here's the question. Are at least having the willingness to give of what you have as the Holy Spirit instructs you to give it up? Because the Holy Spirit sometimes will say, yeah, give it up, child, for that brother. You don't have to go, oh, I'm going to sell everything, right? My car, here are my car keys. You know, you don't have to do that, but sometimes the Lord says, you know what? That brother is really hungry. You just bought a burger, you know, can you give it to him? And you know, Johnny and I, we done that. We just drove by and we say, you know what, that person looks really hungry. And Johnny said, Ben, go stop. I go, why? Give him your burger. Oh, give him your burger. No. And we end up, and you know, one time it happened like this, and the person said, are you an angel? That's what he said. We stopped by, it was like on Nimitz Highway. He said, I was just hoping that I would be able to get some food, and you stopped. I tell you, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Are you willing just to give that? Because you can easily get another burger. This brother will not be able to have any food unless someone gives it to him. Come on. But you know what? You got to make sure it's led by the Holy Spirit. Don't go, okay, and I'm going to give everything, you know, every time now because Pastor Ben said so. No, be led by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, you're going to know his voice. Say, come on, give it. And you should be saying, yes, Lord, I'm willing. And, you know, the very fact is if we're just so focused on just holding on to everything that we have, we're never going to be willing to give as the Holy Spirit leads. And I know, I'll be honest, sometimes it's difficult for me because sometimes John Lee will go into my closet. Ben, your closet is jam-packed. Time to get rid of some clothes. And I go, okay. And I know sometimes I get gifts and stuff like that. And sometimes I go, okay, this one I really like. But that one, maybe it's older, I can give that one. Or, come on. Sometimes we do that, don't we? But sometimes the Lord shows me, Ben, give the better one. And I get like a Tory Richard Aloha shirt, you know, from you know, someone who gave it to me as a gift. Oh, but that thing's expensive. The Lord says, are you willing to let go of it? I said, yes, Lord. Because I want to bless a brother. Let the Holy Spirit speak at you. Don't say, oh, because Pastor Ben said, okay, I got to do it. No, don't do that. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and do it willingly. And God will bless you back. Amen? Because look what he says here in Luke 12, 33 to 34. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Oh, wait. Actually, we said that earlier. Okay. Okay. Actually, I want you to read Mark 4, 18 to 19. And this is where Jesus talks about a particular kind of seed. The very fact is, if you're not willing to let go of things or stuff that you have, guess what? You're not going to experience the willingness to have a generous heart. Okay, let's read what Jesus says in Mark 4. Ready? Go. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by what? The worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desires for what? Other things, so that no fruit is produced. No fruit is produced. That means you're not going to do anything great for the Lord because you are focusing on the things of what the world is focusing on. And you have desire for material gain, desire for the things that are only temporal, not eternal. I want you to look what it says here in Galatians 6, 9 through 10. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we what? We do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Okay, I want to tell you, the very fact is, every day, God's going to give you opportunities. Don't ever think, okay, maybe God's not going to give me opportunities today to help someone or to bless someone. No. As soon as you step out of your house, God will give you opportunities. And you got to be alert. You got to say, okay, Lord, is this an opportunity? Just like that mist, right? There's many opportunities within that mist. Are you going to say, Lord, I'm going to take that opportunity and I'm going to do what you want me to do? And we should challenge ourselves. You know, at the end of the day, you know what you can do? Just kind of lounge on your couch and go, okay, I'm going to tally up. What did I do today to bless others? Just think, what did you do for Jesus? Because remember, when you do it for the least of the brethren, you did it for who? For God. You did it for Jesus. And you just write it down on paper, okay? You know, maybe in your mind you think, okay, maybe I'm going to do at least twice today. Two things that I know I did it for God. And then, you know, later on you can say, okay, now four things, six things, you know, and then maybe you can go up to 100 things. I don't know. But the thing is, right, challenge yourself. You know, maybe just start off like a couple things in a day and you just write it down. What did you do to bless others? Because the more you do this, you realize, wow, this is exactly what God wants me to do. And you're going to find great joy in doing it because you realize as you're blessing others, you yourself are being blessed by God. Amen? I want you to look at point number three now. It says, they are always saying, I'm just not ready to serve. And too often, right, people, I'm going to tell you, they end up not doing anything for God, especially when it concerns ministry. Because we got ministries, we got fishermen, you know, we got Chinatown ministry, we got the park, and you know, other churches, they have a whole bunch of other ministries too. But a lot of times people, they will say, you know what, Pastor, I just don't feel ready. I just feel like I'm not equipped. You know, I just don't feel like I have the proper training. You know what? Just do it, right? Just like that Nike commercial, just do it. Because the Holy Spirit is going to be right there to help you and guide you. And some people, they may think, okay, I'm not educated enough, or I'm not skilled enough in serving God. But think about Moses. Remember? He thought his speech wasn't what? Eloquent enough. I cannot speak to Pharaoh. You know, no way, right? He said, I'm not eloquent in my speech. So God ended up sending who? Aaron, his brother, right? And, you know, Aaron became the spokesperson for that time. And sometimes, right, we just feel like if I have to talk to someone about God, I got to have a church leader present. I cannot do this by myself, because what if they ask me a question I cannot answer? Right? Or sometimes they think, no, the only person who is qualified is the pastor or the elder or the leader, not me. And sometimes, you know, at the park, you know, someone will come up to me, you know, someone within our group and say, Pastor, someone wants to know about God and you need to talk to him right now. I said, what about you? Cole, you can do it. You don't need me. I know you know God. I know you love Jesus. Go tell him about the love of Christ. And, you know, okay. We got to be willing to do it. Not just the leaders, because I know you know the Lord. Just tell him about the goodness of God. And we need to get out of our comfort zones and trust that God will show up every time as you open your mouth and tell people about the gospel of Christ, about the goodness of Jesus. You don't need to be a Bible scholar. No, you don't. I want you to look what it says there in Joshua 1. 8-9. Okay, read it with me. Ready? Go. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. Wherever you go, the Lord God is with you. Don't be afraid. Don't say, I can't do it. No, say, Lord, I can do all things through you, because you're going to give me the wisdom. You're going to give me the strength. Look what else. Jesus, look what he says to his disciples about what they are to do if they were to be arrested by the officials and authorities, you know, because they were telling people about the good news. They were telling people about Jesus Christ. And the officials didn't like it, right? And the religious leaders, yeah, they wanted them to shut up, right? They didn't want them to talk anymore about Jesus. Look what it says here in Luke 21, 14-16. Ready? Go. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you. For what? I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. This is Jesus talking, okay? And says, even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, will betray you. They will even kill some of you. Whew. Well, we know that, right? Some of your relatives might even turn against you. But you know what? Trust that God will give you the words. Trust that God will give you exactly what you need to say at that time, so that this person's heart will soften. This person will come to know Jesus as you believe it, because it's not your words anymore. When you say, Lord, speak through me. It's easy. Just to say that right now. Lord, speak through me. And he will. Suddenly, he's going to take over. And you're going to be so, I got to tell you, so many times, I don't know what to say. People come to me at the park and say, Pastor, I'm going to kill myself tonight. Whew. I mean, what do you say? And I remember I didn't say, Lord, I don't know what to say, right? And the Lord I just opened my mouth, and the Lord said, don't let the devil win. You love Jesus, Jesus loves you. Don't let the devil win. And this person looked at me, and guess what? I shared this testimony before, but, you know, I just make a long story short. Several years later, he came back. He was totally restored, had a successful business. He got married, and wow, his life was so blessed. And he gave his testimony at the park. And he was going to kill himself. I knew he was, because he was crying. He was totally broken. His wife cheated on him and everything. And praise God. God is in the business of restoring, rebuilding. I got to tell you, you just open your mouth, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. And a great boldness will come over you, and you're going to be so shocked. You're going to be so surprised, all the things that's coming out of your mouth, because you know these are not your own words. I'm telling you, you know, you're going to know it's not your own words. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. And suddenly you go, wow, Lord is speaking life into this person as I'm just opening my mouth. I want you to look what it says here in Proverbs 29, 25. Read this with me. Ready? Go. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means what? Safety. Okay. Because here's the thing. When you fear people, that the other translation says, it will prove to be a snare. Okay. What kind of trap? What kind of snare is it? Well, you're going to end up saying things that you really don't mean. Because why? You fear the person. And you don't want the person to think you're cuckoo or something or whatever, right? I got to tell you, I remember when I was a brand new Christian. You know, I accepted the Lord when I was in college in my 20s. And my roommate, who had, just kind of like recently became my roommate. We shared an apartment unit in this building, and it was just kind of recent. And I remember he was a self-proclaimed atheist, and he made this statement to me because he knew that I just accepted Christ into my life. And he looked at me, he goes, "Ben, I hope that you will never become a fanatic Christian and talk about God all the time, because if you do, I might try to find a new roommate." That's what he told me. You know what my answer was? Remember, I was a new Christian, right? And so I said, "Oh, don't worry, that will never happen." Come on, give me a break, okay? Because you know, I was a new Christian, and I was like, okay, I didn't want him to think, that okay, I'm a really crazy person. So I said, "Don't worry, that's never gonna happen." But praise God, it did happen, because I'm crazy in love with Jesus, amen. And I don't want to stop talking about him. But that time, because of fear of man, I didn't want him to think that I lost all my marbles, that I'm going to be talking about God like some kind of lunatic. But we know that's not the case, right? We talk about Jesus all the time because we love him so much. And, also, I remember as a new Christian, I remember I went to visit my brother in Boston. I shared this before, right? And he told me, he says, "Ben, after the church service on Sunday, we're gathering a church team. It's about 3 or 4 members, right? We're going to be evangelizing to people at the park." I never done this before. I was only maybe several months, into the faith. And I got so nervous. I remember as we were in the car, my palms started to sweat. Everyone else is like, "Yeah, let's do it." And they're pumping their fists. "Let's go. And just get as many souls, win so many souls for Christ." I'm like, okay, And I remember my brother, he knew I was getting, kind of nervous. And he says, "Don't worry, Ben, just stick with me. Okay, just stick with me. Don't worry, And I was very anxious. And I turned to him and I said, "Walton, I don't have to say anything, right?" And he gets kind of smiled at me. But here's the thing. When we finally parked the car at the park, we got out of the car. And I'm thinking, okay, let's just do it. Suddenly, I ain't kidding you, there was a heavy downpour of rain. I'm not just talking drizzling. It was like huge downpour of rain. Everyone's like, "Let's go back to the car." And we ran back to the car, and it just kept on pouring like that. And I was like, "Thank you, Lord." And, I felt a little bad because I was thinking, I'll be honest, I was hoping that, something would happen that we didn't have to do it. But, be honest, I wish we did, because I had that opportunity to learn how to evangelize. But we ended up not doing it. We ended up going home after that. And over the years, I realized that if I had to share my faith with someone, I have to trust that God will be the one to speak through me. And you got to have this kind of faith to believe that also, because guess what? The scripture tells us. If you know that you are to share your faith with someone, just say, "Holy Spirit, speak through me. I don't know what to say, but I know you're going to tell me what to say." Look what 2 Corinthians 9:8 says here. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having what? All that you need, you will abound in every good work." What does it say there? Having what? All that you need. You're not going to be lacking. As you do the work of the Lord, You're going to have all that you need, and you're going to abound. You're going to have great abundance of God's work that will come forth in your life as you just trust in him. And, you know, there were times in which I didn't even recite scriptures, but I just shared with the person what God had done in my life. Because sometimes we think, okay, I got to memorize Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23 and wages of sin is death. No, sometimes God just said, you know, just tell him what I did for you. And I had people that gave their life to Christ, all because I told them what Jesus did for me, about how he saved me from a life of destruction. Because I was on the road of destroying my life. And God came to my rescue. And it's a powerful thing to do. I mean, just give your testimony and see what God will say through you. I want you to look what it says in Galatians 1, 9 through 12. Read that with me. Ready? Go. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by what? Direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Direct revelation. Jesus will speak to you directly. Get that? Directly. And you may not have thought, you know, what a certain scripture had meant. Maybe you read it before. You kind of go, I don't really know what it means. But at that moment, you're speaking it to someone because God is saying, this is the scripture that will touch this person's heart. Suddenly, you're going to speak it, and you have total understanding. That ever happened to you before? It happened to me. I go, wow, where did that come from? You know? It's like, hey, I knew it's the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. He will give you wisdom. He will give you understanding. He will give you direct revelation from Jesus Christ so that the word of God will penetrate the heart of this person. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verse now. And what we got to understand, when it concerns our service to God, we must make sure that whatever we do for him, we do it with great heart and great passion. Because in our minds, we're saying, I'm doing it for God and God alone. Because if you don't, you really don't need to do it at all. If you're doing it just for the man, oh, I'm just doing it for the pastor because he asked me. Well, you just lost probably a great blessing that God wanted to give to you because you didn't do it for him. You did it for the leader. You did it for the man. Now do it for God and God alone and give your very best. Amen? Because sooner than we know it, if we do it with the wrong heart or no heart at all, guess what? Our lives will be soon out of service in serving him because you're not going to find joy anymore. You're doing it for the person. I got to show up. I got to do it. No, you just say, Lord, I'm doing it for you. And you're going to have such great passion just to keep going stronger and stronger for the Lord. You know, the story goes of a man who went to a church with an angel as his tour guide. Okay? So the church was completely filled, but oddly enough, there was no sound. It was jam-packed with people, but you couldn't hear anything. The organist played her organ, but no music could be heard. The choir's lips, you see them, huh? They're moving, right? But no song came forth. The pastor went through the motions of the preaching, but the man heard nothing. So the man asked the angel, hey, why? Why is this so? How come it's happening like this? The angel's reply was, this is the service as God sees it. When there is no heart in it, there is no sound. And then in the back pew, he heard a child pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Yeah, God heard that. Because why? It was from the heart. And the angel said, You are hearing the only part God hears, that which comes from the heart. I want you to read with me what it says here in Colossians 3:23 to 24. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Whatever you do, you work at it with what? With your whole heart. With your whole heart. Put your whole heart into it and say, Lord, I'm giving my best unto you. Because you're working for the Lord. You're not working for humans. And it tells us you're going to receive an inheritance from the Lord because you did it all for him. That's going to be your reward because it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Amen? And I'd like to conclude by showing you this video. I don't know if you watched it. It was on the YouTube. It was on Yahoo. Of this man who was dying. And President Trump, he did something that really touched many hearts. I want you to watch this video. Benson, could you go and play it, please?
You're my kind of man, Jay.
Yeah, I try to be.
I'm in a state where, like, if I ever need to be intubated for some reason, I would be able to come off of it. So I'm DNR and I'm DNI.
President Donald Trump for you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, hold on 1 minute.
All right, sounds good.
This guy just called me. Like, he called me. Like, he's got a million things that he could do. Reading other people's comments is what made me feel good inside. I can't remember reading a negative comment on there yet. I don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon. You know, I still plan on voting for him in 2020.
Mr. President, I through thick and thin, you know, and there's been a lot of thicks.
Right.
And there's been a lot of thins. I support you.
That's beautiful, man. We love you, Jay. We love you, man. And that's really beautiful what you just said. And I won't forget it.
You know, he shortly died after that. And, you know, the very fact when President Trump says, love you, man, I love you. I really felt that. It was from his heart. And We know God's going to give us opportunities to touch someone's life like that, just as President Trump did. And whether you like him or not, I believe President Trump, you know, he gave his life over to Jesus. And the very fact is that he did something like this. I believe this, that he was motivated by the love of Christ to call this man and says, hey, get strong. You know, here, hey, I'm here for you. You know, and I don't know if he mentioned God or he mentioned Christ, but you know what? Sometimes we don't need to, because people are going to feel it. They're going to feel the love of Christ that's in you. You don't have to say anything about God or even Jesus Christ, because they're going to know it is from him, because it's a love that is so genuine, a love that is so real. And we ought to be the ones to do it. Amen. Because, you know, that thing is, he got a call from the President of the United States of America. But guess what? Imagine, we represent the King of all kings. And we are called to do great and mighty things for his kingdom's glory. Are you willing to do it? Because that's even greater than the President of the United States or any president of any country for that matter. We're talking about the King of kings, of who you and I represent. Amen? Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this message that was spoken today. And Lord, truly, we don't want to ever get to the point where, just like the vending machine, maybe the devil, he'd be so glad to just put a sign on us and say, we're out of service because we got more important things to do other than the work of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, for every one of us in this room, that will never happen. That our desire to serve you will only get deeper and stronger as you call us to do great and mighty things for your kingdom's glory. Father, we just want to be used in ways that will let people know that the love of Christ is real, that God lives inside of us. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize that to be honest, it seems like my life has been getting really busy lately, but not for the things of God, for the things of the world. Father, will you forgive me of that? Because, Lord, I know I want to live a life that is true to you. I want to live a life that's pleasing to you. I want to do the very things that you have called me to do. And I'm willing, Lord. I am willing. Forgive me of those times when I said no, when I said not for me, or I said send that person instead. Father, I am ready. Will you send me? If this is the cry of your heart right now, saying, Lord, I am willing. I just heard your word, and I want to do what you call me to do. If this is the cry of your heart right now, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me. Say, Lord, whatever you ask, I am willing. Father, send me. Lord, I want to be the one to be sent out to do great and mighty works for your kingdom. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, you see now the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, forgive me of those times, Lord, that I didn't do the work that you called me to do. But Lord, as your Holy Spirit speaks to me, I'm going to tune into your voice. I'm going to do as you ask, and I'm going to see many lives turning to Jesus Christ simply because I said yes to you. Father, I pray that your blessings will flow deep and strong in my brothers and sisters' minds and in their hearts. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen.